My Guy Beer Show is power, politics and justice. Specifically, I'll be looking at the suppression of women in wedlock and the portrayal of the power void between the two. Today, marriage is seen as a loving relationship which joins the two in unison. Ibsen and Hussaini see it differently. They see it as a charade of power which allows men to assert their dominance and expose the power void. My first extract that I'll be looking at is from A Doll's House by Henrik Ibsen. This is from the end of Act 3, where in the extract, Helmer and Nora are interacting following a letter that Helmer has received that Nora was already aware of. Torvald, or Helmer, is completely dominant in all aspects of the word. He's physically, emotionally, and verbally ahead of Nora. And this is seen throughout the extract. Looking at the extract itself, we see Helmer in line 4 say, "Do you understand what you have done? Answer, do you understand it?" To me, this seems like a very teacher and student relationship rather than a loving one. We see Helmer asking many of the questions with little rebuttal from Nora. The abundance of questions themselves make Helmer seem as if he is telling Nora off for something that she has done, when in reality she hasn't actually done anything. The title of the play itself, A Doll's House, symbolises that Nora is potentially trapped in a relationship. This comes from the fact that a doll is something that is played with by a child and has little to no, it has no impact on its life and makes no decisions. Instead, it's controlled by the child who owns it. This is also linked with the stage directions that we see at the start and end of the extract, where at the start it reads, locks the outer door, as well as Nora stands emotionless, Helmer goes to the door and opens it. Being a play, this would show the two characters on stage, with Helmer being the only one who is able to interact with the surroundings, again linking back to the fact that Nora is potentially trapped in a relationship. Following on in the extract, we see Helmer say, "A hypocrite, a liar, worse, a criminal." This triplet clearly belittles Nora and states that she is the one who is completely in the wrong, when in reality, blame could be placed on both following the letter being sent. The word "a criminal" shows that there is very little compassion between Helmer and Nora, as this word would not be used in a relationship. Following on, Helmer also reads, "I ought to have known how it would be. I ought to have seen it. All your father's wants of principle, be silent. All your father's wants of principle you have inherited." While this is a longer piece of speech, there is one bit that specifically sticks out to me. The two words, "be silent," with an exclamation mark. At this point, we know that Nora is not saying anything, as just above the stage directions say, Nora says nothing and continues to look fixatedly at him. However, Helmer continues to say, "be silent." This shows that he is in the dramatic world, this is known as holding the floor. And on the stage, we would see Helmer doing much of the talking, with again very little rebuttal from Nora. The use of this shows again how he is verbally dominant over Nora. Again, in Helmer's next piece of long speech, he starts, "You have destroyed my whole happiness. You have ruined my future. Oh, it's frightful to think of." Very similar to previous times, Helmer is very quick to shift much of the blame onto Nora, even though she is not necessarily completely to blame. The words destroyed and ruined would allude to something awful happening, when in reality all Nora knew was that a letter was being sent to Helmer, and but did not tell him. Finally, for this piece, it says, "Oh, it's frightful to think of." This shows that there is actually a level of shock for Helmer, as he would not expect Nora to have any sort of power over him, and in reality, he is the one who is used to having the power. In Victorian times, this would have been something that was very common. The male would have gone to work and provided for the family, while the female would have done everything that the man wanted, which was often stay at home, cook the meals, and look after the children. After this point, Nora does rebuttal and say, "When I'm out of this world, you will be free." In which Helmer responds by saying, What good would it do me if you was out of this world?" In quotation. The fact that Nora is hinting or potentially thinking about suicide at this point is very shocking to us. We would not expect anyone in a relationship to feel like this. Whereas Helmer, on the other hand, makes a partial mockery of it, quoting her words, saying, "If you were out of this world, as you say." This shows that he has very little care for Nora, and is very dismissive of her personal thoughts and emotions. As a whole, to summarise, Torvald is clearly dominant in speech from his majority speech in comparison to Nora's short, sweet rebuttals. He's dominant physically via his stage directions, for example, locking the door and opening the door as he pleases, and he is also mentally dominant, where he makes a mockery of her speech. Moving on to the second extract, this is from A Thousand Splendid Sons. Specifically, this is from the end of Act 1, roughly page 100, where again, the two in marriage, Mariam and Rashid, are having an interaction about the rice that Mariam has just cooked for her. We see very early on, in the early stages of the extract, specifically line 5, it reads, "But her hands were shaking badly." At this point, this is describing Nora and her actions. The adverb "badly" could allude to the fact that Mariam is actually scared of Rashid, which due to his characterisation throughout this extract, by the use of words such as angrily, stormed, clasped, powerful, and shoved, we can see that Rashid is indeed characterised as very powerful and scary. This is very common for the woman to be scared of the man during these times in Afghanistan, which is where A Thousand Splendid Sons is set, as we would see, as it was very common for beatings and potential even beheadings if women were not obedient towards men. We see in the speech halfway through the extract where Rashid says, "Put these in your mouth," where Mariam responds, "Stop it, Rashid, I'm," followed by a dash. The caesura used in "put these in your mouth" shows a very dominant tone and shows how, again, Rashid is verbally dominant over Mariam. This is also backed up by the use of the dash. As soon as Mariam plans to respond to Rashid, she is cut off by him, by his powerful hands clasping her jaw. This specific part of the extract, where it reads, "His powerful hands clasped her jaw, he shoved two fingers into her mouth and pried it open, then forced the cold hard pebbles into it. Mariam struggled against him, mumbling, but he kept pushing the pebbles in. His upper lip curled into a sneer." While this is quite a long part of the extract, there's one gruesome image that sticks out to me. This is the final sentence, which reads, "He kept pushing the pebbles in, his upper lip curled into a sneer." The word "sneer," to me, shows that Rashid is very, very sadistic and animalistic. This is because he is clearly enjoying the act of pushing the pebbles into his so-called wife's mouth. furthermore, it shows that he's very animalistic, as a sneer, or his lip curling into a sneer, would show that he's very dominant. Specifically, I see the animal kingdom and the food chain as something that's very dominant, prevalent throughout this entire piece, not just this extract, where we see Rashid, who is clearly the dominant one at the top, where in comparison to Maryam, and later in the piece Layla, who is clearly below him. Finally, we have the final part of Acts 1, which reads, "Then he was gone, leaving Maryam to spit out pebbles, blood, and the fragments of two broken molars." This is a very gruesome image that will stick in the reader's mind. This is because structurally, this is the final sentence of Acts 1, and would leave a very bad image in the reader's mind. Furthermore, the triplet of pebbles, blood, and fragments of two broken molars shows the damage that Rashid has caused to what should be a loving relationship.
Good, thank you very much. Let's fit in some questions now. First one is about the Dolls House extract. Would you like to comment on the stage directions within it? Do you think they're interesting in highlighting our understanding of how Elmer oppresses Nora in the way he does?
Well, as spoken about before, the use of locks the outer door and opens the door shows that Nora is certainly trapped in this on the stage. But furthermore, Helmer is the only one who actually moves around on the stage. Through the use of stage directions, we see things such as walking up and down, where in comparison, Nora stands motionless. So I believe that Helmer is the one who's moving around the stage, and Nora has very little control over both her movement or her place in the relationship.
Mm, good answer. My next question is about the two oppressive male protagonists in both Helmer and Rashid.
Yeah.
Do you think either author allows any level of sympathy in the audience and the reader for these two men?
For the two men?
Yeah.
For Helmer, I can see some sympathy, as Nora is also in the wrong. During points of A Doll's House, for example, it's shown at the start that she does use him for money. So there's certainly a sense of sympathy for Helmer. However, Rashid, I can't see any sympathy for, because he's very brutal and gruesome towards both Maryam and Layla, who you meet later in the book.
Mm. You use the word brutal and gruesome there. They could be applied to describe how he's eventually finished off by
Maryam. Yeah, he is killed.
What's your thoughts on what Hosseini decided to do with that character? Do you think it was far-fetched? Do you think it was sort of satisfying? The brutal killing of him, what place does it play in the narrative in terms of your global issue of exploring how women are oppressed?
Well, in Afghanistan, this wasn't necessarily an uncommon position. All men were seen as superior over women. So there's certainly a sense of like relief and triumph when Rashid is eventually killed by Layla, no, by Maryam, sorry. What was the second part of the question?
Is it believable? Is it far fetched, or does it feel justified?
I feel like it is certainly believable, just due to the fact that this wasn't necessarily uncommon at this time. We would see women being beat by their husbands, something that we don't see now. So I think this is quite a believable story, to be honest, for this time.
Yeah, good. Okay, thank you very much. We'll leave it there.